How many times we hear this parable and we even know what's coming next, but has it made an impact? You know, when we just heard it, were you listening? Where do I fit? What am I? You know, oh Lord, let me be the one who bears good fruit. What were you doing? What am I going to have for breakfast? I don't know if anybody was doing that. But what I'm saying is, the key to this one, the word is accept here in the text. It's more than that. It's embrace, sort of. The word. And the word is the verbal expression of the reality and the mystery of God's plan of salvation for the world. That's the word. And so the Lord is giving us this extraordinary parable. As soon as I started, everybody knew what it was going to say, because you've heard it, depends how old you are, but you've heard it 50, 80, 100, 200 times, who knows? And it's saying, take the word in. Take the word in. Because that reality in you has its own power to grow, to prosper. And so, take the word in. Now the word in the first reading is very mysterious. What does it take to do away with sin? The whole Jewish sacrificial system can't take away sin. Only the act of love of the Son of God on the cross can take away sin. And all those things that we do to participate in that act. Huh? That's where we pray for the world. Every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. So you see, then why did God give it to them? Because those who sought the meaning touched Christ. I think I've already told you about that famous text in St. Thomas, huh? Where he says, those who practiced the sacrificial system, you know, with faith, they understood that what they were doing was what the author will tell us a little bit later, you see, is a symbol, you know. It's what he called, we just did it yesterday, didn't we? They understood that this was preparing for something. And because they did that, their act of faith went right through that symbol and touched the Christ. And they were justified. And they lived by the same grace we do, St. Thomas says. You see? But this one, Jesus, offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. And now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. All an allusion to Psalm 109, right? And he died in an act of love. And that atoned for all the sins of the world. All the sins of the world. Mine, yours, everybody's. What an act, huh? Aquinas, when he's working on this, says, well, why? See, it wasn't the greatness of the pain as such. You see? Restoration. Someone can make restoration if they give to the one offended something of equal or greater value than that which was lost. The act of love in which Jesus died is greater than all sin, and it was taken away. Love. See? And that's what he's saying, you see? And now he waits until his enemies are his footstool. You know where that comes from. For by one offering, he has been made He has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. That's us. Consecrated by the Word. Consecrated by the body and blood of the Lord. Consecrated by the indwelling action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit testifies to this. After saying, "This is the covenant I will establish with them after those days," says the Lord. And what's that covenant? "I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds." It's not a great translation, but you get the idea. My law has to exist in you as a principle of response. So what is the law? The Holy Spirit. That's the new law. And it goes on in this text, this very Jeremiah text, to say that, right? The Holy Spirit. He also says, "Their sins and their evil doing I will remember no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin." We don't have a new offering for sin. We just have historical access to the Lord Jesus Christ, fixed forever in the glory of that act of love in which he died, feeding us on his body and blood, and making present to us the power of that forgiveness. And that's, you see, that's why there's no new offering for sin. That act of love on the cross, that's all there is. And that's why it's so precious. And why the saints advise us, learn to dwell in the heart of Christ. You know, they take that line from the Song of Songs, you know, the niche in the rock. You know that line? Anyway, he's the rock, and the niche is that hole in his heart that the soldier made. And we dwell there. And when you see that torrent of love that the Son has for the Father, willingly, because of the love he has for us, going through this, it'll take your breath away. That's forgiveness of sins. That's forgiveness of sins. Is there pain involved? Usually. But it's not the pain, it's the love. If I offend somebody, and then I want to give back to them something to make up for that, make reparation for that. Huh? It has to be of equal or greater worth than the thing I took from him, right? So the whole human race took glory, honor, praise, thanksgiving, trust, love from the Father. And that one act on the cross gave back to the Father greater love than all of that, and made up for us. So what saves us is the act of love on the cross.